So you'll notice that the bulletin looks a little weird today. So we're going to be doing the service backwards in order to say goodbye to 2022 and to ring in the new year, calling us all into worship for 2023. So things are going to be backwards. I will have more announcements at the beginning.
Later.
So as we leave 2022, let me give a blessing for the year. May the God who gave us 2022 and the Savior who walked at our side each day and the Spirit who filled us with life abundant grace 2023 with peace, hope, and joy. Amen. So our closing hymn for today is 143, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Please rise in body or spirit.
Took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them.
Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Friends, this is not Glenshaw Valley's table. This is not a Presbyterian table. This is our Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share in the feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord, our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the prophets, apostles, martyrs, with all the faithful of every time and every place, who forever say to the glory of your name,
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took the bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
the blood of Christ shed for you.
Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So that brings us right to the sermon. Oh, we just sang the communion hymn. Oh, we've got the... I'm glad somebody knows. Man, who wrote this? Please rise as you're able for our communion hymn, number 508. Please be seated, for now is the time for the sermon. I've made you feel pretty uncertain here today, but beyond that, I think we can all agree that we're living in uncertain times. We've got rising inflation, wars overseas, extreme partisanship and unrest amongst our government leaders and ourselves, a pandemic that seems never ending, natural disasters increasing in frequency and severity, just a lot of social and economic upheaval. There are a lot of people who are having a tough time out there. And while I have, and I think we all have, a lot of hope with the start of the new year, I have to be honest with you, I have no idea what's going to happen in 2023. But this isn't the first time, not even in my own lifetime, that humans have experienced uncertainty. I think back, you know, the recession of 2008, the fear caused by the September 11th attacks on our country, going back even further, you know, civil rights movements, two world wars, a Great Depression, that's just in the last century. And only in the United States. So Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were also living in uncertainty. You'll remember that Herod instructed the Magi from the east to return to him once they found the infant king that they were seeking, you know, so he could worship him. And as Herod waited to hear from the Magi, they received warning by a dream that they should take a different way home. Yeah. See, Herod was a rather, let's say Herod was a rather insecure king. And even though he was appointed to rule by the Romans, he still had to fight for several years to take control. He killed countless people to eliminate any rivals. Like even his wife and one of his sons he killed because he suspected they wanted to overthrow him. Herod was so unliked that before he died, he commanded all the political prisoners to be killed so that the entire land would be filled with mourning upon his death. So you can imagine that when Herod realized that the Magi had tricked him, he was angry. And in a jealous rage, he gave orders that all of the boys in Bethlehem, age 2 and under, were to be killed. Thankfully, right before this, an angel appeared to Joseph yet again in a dream, telling him to take his family and to flee to Egypt. Jesus would be safe there. It's outside of Herod's jurisdiction. Everything would be fine. And then again, once after Herod died, an angel appeared again to Joseph and instructed him to take the child home to Nazareth. The point here is that God can protect the Messiah from hurt, harm, danger, even from the most despicable people and in the most despised places. I find this story to be a particularly difficult story. It seems kind of odd to tell the week after Christmas. You know, that nice manger scene isn't there anymore. The shepherds, the angels, the wise men, and all of their gifts disappear, and we're left with horror. Joseph and Mary and Jesus become refugees, fleeing in terror to another land where they're hoping to seek asylum. My hunch is that this holy family, and quite honestly, everyone else around them, had probably seen enough Christmas. They must have been pretty tired of the uncertainty, and they were ready for things to return to normal, whatever normal means. But they would never see normal again. This baby brought about a new normal. And some people say that it was after the Oklahoma City bombing in April of 1995 that phrase, the new normal, first entered our vocabularies. Like, now that this has happened, normal won't be normal anymore. And then we forgot about it for a while, and we used the phrase again after September 11th. And then we forgot about it again. And we use it again today to describe that anxious malaise that lingers around the uncertainty of COVID-19. With all of that latent fear surrounding it. With any new normal, from prolonged family crises, financial crises, to this just general haunting sense of uncertainty, there's also a sense of grief. So our lives changed quickly. That glory to God in the highest can quickly dive into, my God, why have you forsaken me, in less than a human heartbeat. Even that Holy Family wasn't given the luxury of sleeping in heavenly peace for very long. The flutter of angels' wings and Joseph's dreams warned of an evil tyrant on the loose, going door to door looking for babies to kill. Again, it seems like this is an odd scripture to read during Christmas. There's all this violence and uncertainty and wielding of power, and yet, this story gives me a lot of hope. It gives me hope because it reminds me that God is with us. It's precisely because of the dislocation that occurs within people's lives. It's because of the insane abuses of power by those who wield it. It's because innocent people suffer and others are left heartbroken and mourning. It's because we are so often left grasping at straws to find meaning. It's because of those things that God enters the world in Jesus. God doesn't remain separate from the world in which these things happen. But God comes into Jesus, and through Jesus shares in this world and feels for us. God didn't remain apart from the reality of suffering. Wherever we find ourselves, we're never off of God's map. God's been there before. Even in the land of loss, even in faraway Egypt, even the new normal is not new to God. The good news here, what brings me hope, is that God loves us so much. So much that Jesus endures unimaginable suffering and torturous death to take all of this suffering in our lives, brings it into himself as well. God literally shares our pain. The even better news is that Jesus' suffering and death are not the last word. God raises Jesus from the dead and pours out the Holy Spirit on all of creation. All of us who live in the uncertainty of this life, well, we can be certain that the suffering and wailing and fleeing that we and other people experience isn't ignored by God, and it's shared by Jesus, who continues to look upon us with compassion. So here we sit today in a new year, in the bittersweet memories of an old year, and in our hearts we hold this bizarre Christmas story. God somehow uses this collage of odd images to fulfill a commitment to us. With our grief in one hand and our gratitude in the other, we can embrace uncertainty because God's big promise is to never, ever leave or forsake us. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Open your hearts, O God, to this your word, May we hear with joy what you would have us hear this day, and may the music of your grace build our whole lives long, that we may sing your praise with our whole being. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture comes from Matthew 2, verses 13 through 23. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, waiting and loud lamentation. I pronounced that wrong. Anyway, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling Judea in a place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called Nazarene. Bless the reading of the word.
Thanks be to God. Okay, so we're not doing the offertory completely backwards. Because it just doesn't make sense. Everything else makes sense, right? But this one part doesn't make sense if you do it backwards. In the babe of Bethlehem, we have been given an immeasurable gift. May we give our gifts to play our part in the refrain of this story and redemption for our lives and for the world. Let us now give our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
the Magi follow that star and turn their final corner toward Bethlehem, surely they wondered about the adequacy of their gifts for the newborn king. God, teach us to follow you just as the Magi followed that star. Remind us that you have given us what we need to serve you and your kingdom. May these gifts serve to guide others to the manger of the Savior as well. And may they serve to build up the community and heal our world. Amen. You might as well remain standing for our hymn of meditation, the First Noel. be seated. Let us gather together our joys and our concerns and our thoughts as we pray for the end of 2022 and the beginning of 2023. God of years 2022 and 2023, and of all times and places, you have journeyed with your people from the very first moment of relationship in that garden, through the events of history, and alongside the events of this last year and the year to come. Show us each day the beauty of your creation, the strength of your human community, and the potential of our aspirations. We are grateful this day for the gifts you have brought us in this life and on this day. Even during times of alienation and exile, you still longed to bring your people back to the promise. We still find ourselves in uncertain times, disorienting circumstances, and long for a restoration of your creation and community. In that longing uncertainty, we lift our prayers of intercession and supplication up to you. We pray for our newly elected leadership in the United States. May leaders govern with a heart for the welfare of the people of this land and every land. May they find common ground to bring the greater good into the world. We pray for the war in Ukraine and Russia, for families ripped apart and grieving the losses of loved ones, as well as the trauma of war on their children and future generations. We pray for the women of Iran and the Iranian people seeking greater agency, equality, and opportunity for them and their children. We pray for those held hostage and without due process as pawns of states and terrorist groups. May people never be used as currency, and their humanity, dignity, and agency be preserved and always honored. We also take this moment to pray for those closest to us, that we may know that you, that we may name in our hearts in this moment. Draw close to each one in body, mind, or circumstance, gentle Savior. Work within each situation a knowledge of your divine love and compassion that compels your human family towards justice and love. Teach us where we may become hands and feet that all may know your grace and your powerful love. For this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, that we may know the depth of your love, that we may remember the prayer he taught us all. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, greet each other. No? We have the anthem. All right, sit back and relax and enjoy the beautiful anthem that our choir has prepared for us. Siblings, let's greet each other with signs of peace. Please rise as you're able and join me in proclaiming our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Surrounded by God's everlasting faithfulness, we acknowledge our distress in how we have lost faith, become separated from God and from one another. Let us confess our sins to God, our loving and merciful Redeemer. Almighty God, we come before you to confess our sins. We confess that we have turned the page in the calendar, but still haven't fully turned our hearts to you. We confess that we too often seek fulfillment in human potential rather than in the peace, instruction, and new life you offer us. We confess that we would rather chart our own course and submit to your loving design. Gracious God, help us to remember that true life is found only in you. Give us courage to follow the radical path of Jesus in this new year. Let us be the lights that reflect your love and truth to our friends and neighbors, so that they may know the power of sin has been broken. Let this be the year we seek your glory more than our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During our distress, God is also distressed. So God sends a messenger who serves to save us. In love and mercy, God has redeemed us all. Thanks be to God. Amen. Gather together and join in our opening hymn, Another Year's Dawning. I did it. Thank you. may be seated. Let us now call in the new year with hearts ready to worship and listen to the call that God brings to all of us. A new year begins, and with it new opportunities to preach the gospel. We give thanks for the year past and look with anticipation at what God will bring in the year to come. God has destined us for adoption as God's children. The season of Christmas reminds us of the fulfillment of that adoption. We are God's children, and the Lord is our God. In Christ, we have obtained inheritance. We who have set our hope in Christ live for the praise of his glory. Come, let us worship the newborn King. So before the bell, I'm going to do the announcements.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
So that was an interesting service. So I just wanted to remind you all that Carol has prepared the envelopes for 2023. They are in the back there. Please pick them up. Also, if you have not picked up your poinsettia, please do that. And there are sleeves and covers in there under the first pew here for that. I also want to let you know that I am leaving for Guatemala on Saturday evening, and I won't be back in the States until the evening of the 16th of January. This is for a mission trip. You may remember last year I was supposed to go on a trip with seminary to New York City, but it got canceled because of COVID, and so they are offering anyone who has not been able to go on a trip to be able to go on one of these short-term mission and intercultural learning trips. So I chose Guatemala, and I would very much appreciate prayers for the journey as well as for all of those who I will meet. I will be sending out some general information about Guatemala, as well as I will also give you my itinerary. So you will see what I'll be doing every day. There will I'll be sending that by email, and then I'm going to have Allison print a few copies and just to have in the back for those of you that don't have internet access and things like that. You'll see that these are jam-packed days. Like these are like 8:30 in the morning to about 9 o'clock at night. Days that will be filled with fellowship and learning and seeing where God is at work amongst people in Guatemala. We'll be paying particular attention to what's known as the push factors of immigration, so what makes people want to leave Guatemala, and what happens when they get to the United States, all sorts of things. So next week, Arlie has been working very hard on a service of lessons and carols, and
start at the middle, and then we're going to go to the end.
Oh, that's actually, don't give me ideas. I can find something theological in that. Talk about uncertainty. and then our good friend Trip Torbett will be here to preach on the 15th. I plan to give a short presentation of my time in Guatemala when I return to the pulpit on the 22nd, and that is also the day that we will be ordaining and installing our new officers. Just thank you in advance for your prayers, and all of that. Are there any other announcements? Anything else I should? No? Carol.
Women's Associated meeting next week, and we're cleaning the kitchen afterwards.
Ooh, you're not going to want to miss next week's Women's Association meeting at 9:30.
And every female member of the church is in the Women's Association.
Whether they want to be or not. So wear your work clothes, and then after worship.
That was my clarification. We're cleaning after worship, not after worship.
Yes. Ooh, it's free lunch. You can't go wrong with that. All right, anything else? All right.